We're speaking now with Nancy Girth, and Nancy is a supporter of a coalition of nonpartisan groups that just yesterday filed a ballot measure to get it on the ballot. It's an initiative. It's called the Open Primaries Initiative, and it has a couple parts to it. They both would enact some significant changes to the way Idahoans would vote. Nancy, thank you for taking time to talk with us today.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me.
Well, we want to talk about the two things that are included in here. And one is, if this initiative were to pass, that the primary elections in Idaho would become open primaries. And we'll dig into that in just a moment. And then the second part of it is to enact what's called ranked choice voting, in which voters will be able to give a preference for the candidates that are on the ballot. And if no candidate gets a majority, then the voters' second choices are counted. And we'll talk a little bit more about how that works. A number of states have gone to ranked choice voting. But let's kind of start at the start. Can you tell us first a little bit about this coalition of groups that's formed for this pretty big change in the way we vote, and why? Why are they going for putting an initiative on the ballot?
It's a coalition right now of five organizations that are all nonpartisan organizations. The Idaho Veterans for Political Innovation is an Idaho chapter of a national organization. North Idaho Women represent U.S. Idaho and the Hope Coalition and Reclaim Idaho. And they have, we do have some experience with initiatives, but I just want to remind everybody about what an initiative is and how it works before we get into the details of this initiative. Is that okay?
Sure. Yeah. It'd be very useful.
So the voters in Idaho have the last word about what laws govern us. And in the Constitution, we are allowed to put an initiative on the ballot so that everyone can vote on it. And if it passes, it becomes law. It takes precedence over other Idaho laws. So because power ultimately comes from the people, this is a guarantee that that's always open to us.
And it's not and easy to get an initiative on the ballot.
It's not easy. It takes, you have to get 6% of registered voters from the last election in more than half of the legislative districts in the state. I worked on one of these before that we passed in 2018 that accepted federal money to pay for Medicaid expansion in Idaho. And we started collecting signatures and worked on it for, I don't know, 6 months. And just before the deadline got in, we got enough signatures. It was really hard work. And we were collecting in the wintertime. You know, it was an amazing thing that we accomplished, I think. So this time we're starting a little bit earlier. The signatures to get, so the signatures have to, will start being collected this summer. And we will have to collect all those signatures. It's like, I don't remember, 70,000 or more signatures by next May 1st. If we're successful in doing that, then it goes on to the ballot in November
of 2024. Yes.
Of 2024. As soon as it goes into, as soon as it passes, it goes into effect. There's no more talking about it. It goes into effect. So it will affect the elections in 2025, if there are any.
Okay, so let's dig into what this particular initiative is about. The first part of this initiative, it's called the Open Primaries Initiative, and it seeks to do that specifically. It's to have open primaries. And the this is in light of the fact probably that the Idaho Republican primary closed its primary election in 2012, which means only registered Republicans can vote in the primary election for Republican candidates. The Democrats have an open election. Anybody can vote in their primary, and independents are actually left out. If you're a registered independent, and there's about 200,000 of them, they don't get a vote on anything in the primary election.
Right.
So
but
with that much of a, yeah.
Excuse me. Significantly, you can't vote in both of the primaries, Republican and Democratic. The Republicans require that you be registered as a Republican, and you can only vote in one primary.
So what would the Open Primaries Initiative do? How would that change the current system?
Everybody would run in one primary that was not associated with the party. And the top four people who got the most votes would run against each other in the November in the general election.
So you could have, you know, four Republicans that advance to the general election, or
yep.
You could have a mix. You could have an independent and a Republican and a Democrat and a Constitution Party candidate that would advance
right.
to the general election.
Yeah, and whoever got the most, the four top winners would advance.
So this would make the primary election nonpartisan. I guess the question that would come up is, you know, are the parties likely to like this, since they want to have, you know, some, you know, they want to make sure that their party candidates advance? How is this likely to change the whole partisan dynamic?
Well, of course, they hate this. They've already tried to pass legislation against it in the last session. But the point is that they want to do that because it's partisan. Because then the Republican Party and the Republican Central Committee get to determine who we can vote for in November. Anyone who's not a Republican can't decide who's going to get on the ballot. And I think we're all familiar with this from the last election, where the incumbent senator from our district lost in the primary to the senator who was later on the ballot. And when I went to vote in November, the incumbent senator wasn't even on the ballot. He was a very popular senator. I believe he would have been supported by the majority of voters. But the person who was not supported by the majority got the seat.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense?
Well, yeah, it makes sense. I mean, it's speculation about who might have won the general election, but
right. That's
but
why
it's as a matter of, yeah, I mean, it's actually true that in our heavily partisan state, that if a candidate wins on the Republican primary ballot, he's probably going to get into office in the general election.
Right.
And so is this idea of having an open election? I can just imagine it's not going to set well with the Republican Party establishment.
No, it doesn't sit well with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They want the opposite. They want to have control over who we get to vote for in November.
Hmm. Okay,
and
so
don't
that...
forget, don't forget, you know, there's quite a few Democrats in Idaho, and even though we don't win that many elections in Idaho, the Democrats in Bonner County should be allowed to help determine who goes on the ballot in November.
Mm-hmm. So, but let's say you're a Republican in Bonner County. Why
right.
would you want to support this initiative?
Well, I am a person who's lived in North Idaho for 30 years. And I've supported Republican candidates, Democratic candidates, and independent candidates for office. I've worked for them. And I want to be able to vote for the people that I think would make the best representative, not the one that everybody thinks is going to win. I want to decide for myself, who do I want representing me? And it doesn't matter to me whether it's a Republican or a Democrat or an independent. It matters to me what they think about school funding, what they think about medical care, what they think about roads. I vote on the issues. And I think there's many people, I think most voters, as a matter of fact, do vote on the basis of issues and of how people vote when they are in the legislature. But if they don't have the choice among all the most popular people, they're forced then to elect people that they don't want.
The choices are reduced for those people. Okay, that's the open primary part of this initiative that's been filed. The second part of it is what's called ranked choice voting. So with ranked choice voting, it allows voters to rank the candidates in their preferred order. A candidate who collects more than 50% of the first place votes would win the election outright. But if no candidate got 50% or more than 50% of the vote, then there's a runoff procedure. And what that is the candidate with the fewest first place votes is eliminated, and their votes are reallocated to the candidates that they listed second. So their second choice gets their vote. And then this process repeats until a candidate surpasses the 50%. And that's a little complicated to get across over the air, but do you have an example of how that might work?
I'm just going to repeat that again, okay?
Okay.
Everybody votes for their first. Everybody puts those candidates in order that they want them.
One, two, three, four. That's your preferred order.
One, two, three.
Yeah.
And if nobody has over 50%, then the person with the least amount of votes is dropped out of the race, and whoever voted to put them first goes to their second vote. And then you count up all the votes again. If nobody has 50%, you do it again until somebody gets over 50%.
Yeah. Well, the math is that by the time you eliminate the first two, then you're down to just two candidates. One of those is going to win.
Right, exactly. So the thing to remember about ranked choice voting is that no matter who wins, they'll have the majority of votes. Nobody will win in a race where there's six candidates and the winner gets 32%.
Mm-hmm.
That'll never happen. Everyone's voice will count in the final count.
And of course, a lot of candidates do win by pluralities rather than majorities because the vote's so split up. It's a different way of electing, the people that are going to represent us. But a number of states have tried it. I know that Alaska did it. And the states where they have tried it, what kind of feedback have you collected from voters in those states? Do they like ranked choice voting?
Well, let's see. In Utah, they had instant runoff elections in 21 cities. And 80% of the Utah voters said the election system was easy to understand. In Alaska, in 2022, 85% of the voters thought that instant runoff was simple. So whether or not, I think the voters were happy with it, whether or not they were, a majority of them voted for the winner.
Yeah, it's one way to make sure that one of your votes is going to end up counting. You get a voice and the whole slate of candidates that might be out there. So we're going to run out of time here pretty shortly, but what's up next now? This just was filed at the state, I think, to begin this initiative process to get it on the ballot. So by this coalition of Idaho groups. So what's the process now to try to see this thing through? And of course, it's no sure thing that this coalition of groups is going to collect all the signatures they need to get this open primaries initiative on the ballot.
No. Well, we'll need some volunteers to stand out with petitions and get signatures. And the last time we did that, we had a lot of volunteers that all from Idaho who stood out in the street and collected all those signatures. So that's the next step, and that's the long, hard-working step. In the meantime, we'll be informing people about what's happening and getting everybody ready to vote on this initiative in November of 2024.
If it gets on the ballot.
If it gets on the ballot, if we're successful, if it gets on the ballot. I don't think we'll have any problem with that, frankly.
Hard to say, but let's say it does pass and the legislators don't like it. Legislators kind of reflexively, they're the ones that are elected to go to down to Boise and make laws. Sometimes the citizens get an initiative passed that the legislators may not like. Is there likely to be some kind of pushback, or can the legislature negate this initiative? Should it pass?
Yes, I'm gonna, with my crystal ball, saying there absolutely will be a backlash about this, because the last time we passed one, there was. The legislature tried to stop it from going into effect. They tried to raise the number of signatures we had to collect and the number of districts we had to collect them from. There was a big fight in the legislature about this. I believe that those laws actually passed. I'm not quite sure about that, and they were vetoed. In the last session, they tried to pass a constitutional amendment to stop citizens' initiatives. So this legislature has really come out and attacked the voters. This is not a partisan attack. This is an attack saying the legislature wants to have the power, the final word in the government, and they don't. The voters have it. So in that case, it lost. The constitutional amendment is much harder to pass than a law. It requires two-thirds of both houses to pass it, and it did not pass. So there were enough legislators who voted against this to stop it from getting through.
Yeah, and it could again come up, because it has been coming up every year since the 2018 initiative was successful. But we should mention that, you know, that would have got it on the ballot, and then the citizens would have had to approve it as well. And it's also important to point out that the rights of the citizens to have initiatives in referendums is part of the Idaho Constitution currently. We're going to probably hear a lot more about this, Nancy Gerth. Again, you're a supporter of the coalition of groups that just yesterday filed this initiative to get on the ballot. But you want to throw in any last word here before we say goodbye?
No, just thank you for having me, and maybe you'll have me back again in a little while. I'll have a better example.
Well, we will want to follow this, and it's going to be a long process. About a year, actually, is
Yeah.
what the groups have in order to gather all those signatures they need, and that is a high bar to meet. So the voters will have their say in whether or not this gets on the ballot. Well, Nancy Gerth, again, thanks for taking time to talk with us.
And thank you for the radio station keeping us all informed.